Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the...
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz after a rough weekend for my Cubbies. But was it a rougher weekend for the Cubbies, or was it a rougher weekend for our presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton? Hard to say yet, but certainly some interesting things going on along those terms, and we'll see what the future brings. But trick or treat, happy Halloween, and looks like Hillary might have gotten the wiener in her bag of candy. As of course the sexting king has come once again to strike. Interestingly enough, we see you know how these things continue to show up around a candidate that has so many things around her that what I find interesting is, you know, we all know the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, around Hillary, there's always smoke, but it seems like there's always somebody there to douse out the fire for her. Now, you know, I think this past weekend, or actually last Friday, but Comey, on his own, against the wishes of Loretta Lynch and the Justice Department, actually released some information that he felt was pertinent, and I think he's trying to get back into the good graces of everybody. I think that the anger issues that arose around him. Now, I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton is guilty. I'm not saying that there is a problem. I'm saying that I believe the American people have the right to know. And I believe that we should get to know all of the facts, especially when we are participating in probably one of the biggest elections of our time. Okay. And I don't like her. I think she's dirty. I think she's very, very shrewd. And I think she would do just about anything. And again, I think that she's always borderline on the law. But again, in this country, until proven guilty, we have to presume innocence. So, you know, I can have my opinion, which I do. But, you know, is she truly guilty? I don't know. Okay. All I know is that I don't care for her. I know many of the things she has done that are factual things, I don't like. I know that that is not the person that I want looking over my future, my children's future. So at that point, but, you know, again, look at all of the dirty things that always seem to surround the Clintons, okay? From the Board of Trade in the 70s to the women of Bill Clinton all the way through and probably still today, to the beatdown that she's done to them, to Benghazi, to whatever. Again, now I'm not accusing. I'm not saying anything other than what I know and what I've read. The only thing I know for a fact is the Board of Trade. The only thing I know for a fact is that what Bill Clinton did. And the funny thing is, you know, because the Clintons live in such a state of denial, if Bill Clinton would have said during the Monica Lewinsky deal, if he would have just said to the American people, I'm sorry, I didn't do it on, you know, whatever. I'm sorry I did it. I did it. I'm sorry I did it. And that's it. It would have been all gone. And there wouldn't have been the impeachment proceedings. There wouldn't have been the lying. But it does seem that they're always lying about something. And that, I think, is the bigger issue, is that they are always lying about something. So that, I think, is a problem. Not that they did something wrong. You know, I don't know that anybody in the world can say they've never done anything wrong. But if you get caught, okay, then you should just fess up and say, okay, I did it. I'm sorry I did it. And that's the end of the day. Because Americans are very forgiving people. But here we are now, 9 days, I guess, from the election. And Hillary Clinton is still the favorite based on the betting polls. Now, obviously, we've seen the race tighten. And we're going to see where we go from here. But at the end of the day, okay, you know, how do you really want to have Hillary as your leader? So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. Now, the markets themselves, they don't mind having Hillary as their leader because they like the same old policies that we've seen for years because, of course, they have been able to get richer and make more money while most of the population has been crushed by the policies that are in place. But, you know, you saw the action on Friday. You saw first the news hit, the market sold off about 150, and then, of course, they rallied back, you know, not all the way, but they did rally back. But what that tells you is that the markets themselves are not ready to go down yet. It tells you that the forgiveness of Wall Street and the forgiveness of investors because of the things that are going on, that money is more important to them, to people, than anything else. Now, really, you have to look at it from that perspective. It's about the money. Okay. Remember, we talk about this. One of the things that always comes into play, it's money. And people are willing to sacrifice the potential Supreme Court, the potential of a lot of things, for the immediate gratification of money today. Now, again, I'm not saying that they're right. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm saying that that's a choice that you get to make as an American. We do get the freedom of choice. However, one of the things that I have a problem with in this whole situation is that we should have a fair and equal playing field, which we don't. I think that the playing field is tilted so far to the left because of the extremely liberal media, because of the extremely tainted way that we look at everything. And I am not saying that Donald Trump is a saint by no means. I guarantee he's done plenty of things that were not correct and by the book. And I'm just saying that it really would be nice is to have all of the facts so that all of the people could get and make their best decision based on all of the real facts and not the facts that are pushed to us through the media that is certainly pulling for Hillary Clinton and always sided to one side. I mean, if you've ever watched any of these commentaries after either a debate or a comment, you turn one channel on, they're straight Donald Trump. You turn the other on, they're straight Hillary Clinton. But unfortunately, there's about 20-1 Hillary Clinton channels to Donald Trump. And all I'd like to do is just have the real facts so that I could actually look and make the real decision. So happy Halloween. A big wiener to all of you. Trick or treat. And make sure that when you miss an episode, you go to LibertyTalk.fm and get a download of the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. I'm going to step out here for a break and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Yeah. Todd, Bubba Hogan will be right back.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time to bring good things to life. And, of course, that means it's time for Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report, and all over the country. You can watch her on different channels and hear her talk about markets and the world and what's going on. What do you say, Jane?
Well, Todd, good to be with you today. And another interesting week down in the world of politics and business.
You know, I'll be so happy when this political season is over. It's become, to me personally, nauseating. Every day there's something new to come out, and nobody really is really focused on what the actual issues of the country are, and that really makes me angry, because you know, we continue to have expert after expert come out and say everything is great and we're getting better and everything is terrific, and you know, these two idiots are fighting over, you know, how we're going to get elected and what we're going to do to make it better. In the meantime, we really are just creating one big mess that just continues to grow. Any thought to that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think the media is to blame for that, too. I mean, it's, you know, I actually listened to, a speech by Donald Trump. I was talking about bringing the jobs back. He outlined policy positions in terms of, you know, the government workers are not going to allow to be a lobbyist within a year. You know, I don't remember the exact details, but I remember that it was very specific in terms of transparency in government. And I know Hillary Clinton has on her website, I mean, I've been on her website, almost every policy that's out there is outlined on her website. You just click on the button and you can read what her opinions are. So in a way, we're kind of to blame, and I think the media is to blame too. We're just obsessed with all these dumb, you know, sexual things and, you know, stuff that really isn't going to have a huge impact on the future of this country in decades to come.
Now, you've been, you know, you're younger, but you've been around for a while and you've seen the different changes in the political system. And do you think that we've just got like so totally out of line? I mean, this is more like, you know, reading the National Enquirer every day, because the media is so biased on one side and these things just come floating out. What do you think about all this stuff?
Well, I just, I don't know. I mean, it's sad. It is disgusting. I talk to a lot of people in New York and they're like, we actually want to hear. I had a doctor appointment this week and my doctor was talking to me about the election and was like, I really want to hear what they want to do about things. And she was like, I'm tired of hearing this stuff. Now, I do know from years working in the media that what people say they want and what actually shows numbers and ratings are two entirely different things. And that's been going on for decades. I think if people really would tune out some of that stuff, really would, and actually watch things. You know, the debates, I mean, they could have been had a little more policy, but I thought Chris Wallace did a great job getting some policy in on the debates. But it's, you know, for some reason, we have let this just deteriorate to this level, and we're really not better for it. I mean, we need to find somebody. This great conversation with, it was a guy that I judged a panel this week, and, you know, he and I were just talking about the system, like the political party system and how that's really to blame. Like everybody gets on teams. They make assumptions about the other side without really knowing the person and how they feel. And I think the Republican-Democrat kind of divide is what's really causing the problems. If you just pick somebody who's best for the job and not worry about all those labels and everything, I think we'd be better off.
Well, that I agree 100%. But let me ask you this question. Now, you know, and it's going to be a tough one to answer, but how does Hillary Clinton get away with everything that she gets away with? I wrote about it during the week, and I said she's like Jell-O. You can't ever get a good grasp on where she's at, right? It just slips right through your fingers. I mean, being very serious. I mean, look, I know. We know there are some things that she actually did that were proven. Forget about all the WikiLeaks and all this other stuff, but we know, even going back to 1978, what she did at the Board of Trade in Chicago. So how do they continue just to slither through? That's the one thing I just can't figure out.
Well, I think it starts with the very inception of whatever it is. So let's take the Board of Trade thing, or let's say, you know, whatever. There's numerous things. It starts with, I mean, they're both lawyers, so that's helpful. It starts with making sure, like, okay, but let's talk about the paper play, the Clinton Foundation stuff. That there's lots of kind of peripheral evidence that money was given for speeches and access. But there's one thing missing, and that is, was there a policy ever changed due to this? So they always seem to have this, like, swirl of like suspiciousness and untrust and just smarminess. But when it comes down to actual crime, they're, you can't pin it on them. And I think that comes from the legal background, and I think they have built up an amazing amount of contacts of people in high places. They probably all owe things to each other, and they're in the FBI and the Justice Department and in foreign governments, things like that, and they just don't pursue these things. And, I mean, if you've got that, you've prevented the problem from the beginning, you've got the legal language down, and you have people that depend on you, and you depend on them, they're going to be able to get by with it.
That is amazing. And again, I mean, there's so many things that you look at and you watch and you hear these things. And again, I'm sure not everything is true. Well, maybe it is. But I mean, it's just funny because, you know, certain things. I mean, you know, I go back to the Benghazi thing. You know, what difference does it make? Well, of course it makes a difference. That's why you're there testifying. You know, but somehow they get away with these things. And, you know, I don't know about you, but and again, I'm just tired of the same old stuff. You know, we have to make a change, and it doesn't have to be Trump. I mean, I don't care who it is, but we need to make a change of an entire philosophy. We have to change the entire way that we do the whole system. I mean, that's what I think. Do you have any opinion to that?
Well, no, totally. And no, I, right when I graduated from college was when Bill Clinton was elected, so the early 90s. And so basically my whole adult working life, I've been dealing with this. And it's so different than like how I hear my parents talk about things where, you know, maybe we're just more naive back then. But I also think it was a character thing. When my parents were growing up, that people actually thought was important, that they don't anymore. And, you know, I feel like, you know, as long as you can lie, as long as you're, you know, I look at, you know, Bill Clinton, and like I have, you know, some friends in New York who they'll hear him, they'll be like, oh, I don't trust him. Then they'll hear him speak, and they're like, oh, I really like him. And it's like you're swayed by just the way a guy talks. Like, just actually step away from that a little bit and look at some of the background and some of the policies and really what got done, and get away from the way he speaks and talks and smiles. And you know, it's amazing how people get so emotional. I just think we're very emotional these days. And I was at this event just last Tuesday, and we were talking about this guy who helped cancel people who have cancer, and one of the guys in our group just literally out of the blue says, Trump is the devil. I was like, where did that come from?
Isn't that amazing?
It doesn't matter where you go. Everybody's thinking about it, and they're so emotional about it. It's crazy. Everybody's very emotional these days. Everybody needs to just take a chill pill.
Well, I think that your program, though, your kids' financial, you know, program and other educational system, I think that's going to help, because I think you can have actually educate people when they're younger to take a better view. How's that going?
Going great. We have a new one out. Longtime friend, journalist, author Bobby Rebell is our guest. She wrote a book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up, and it's really interesting. She talked to all these like executives and famous people, and they talked about their kind of moments where they realized they needed to grow up financially. Ivanka Trump's in there, so it was a really cool book. We have one we're recording this week, and Jim Cramer is going to be our guest. So that is going to be great. I know he feels passionately about teaching kids about finance. So that'll be coming out in November. So I'm really excited about this. I hope, you know, it breaks through all the podcasts out there, and people can listen to it and give ideas and all that. It's Ka-Ching with Jane King. It's on iTunes and Google Play.
Jim Cramer, how'd you get the Mr. Cramer involved?
Oh, just a little persistence. I emailed a couple times, heard nothing, followed up with the new podcast, and heard back, and he agreed to it. So pleasant persistence gets you a long ways, Todd. Warren Buffett, that's one of my next ones.
You know what? I have a contact for you. I can give you his direct contact to Warren Buffett, but he turned me down. But maybe you can be a little bit more persistent. But Jane King, you always bring
sorry,
great.
But I had the best guest for the first one, and that was you.
Thank you, darling. You know, I appreciate that. Jane King, you are the best. The Ka-Ching Report, Lila Max Media. Check her out on TV all the time. Jane, thanks so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend, Jane King, from Lila Max Media and the Ka-Ching Report. You know, she always brings good stuff because, you know, she is a fair and equal media person. She does stations, you know, from coast to coast. And she is a Midwesterner, okay, who, you know, comes up from the farm country, okay, and became the opposite of Green Acres. She went from Green Acres to the concrete. But anyways, it's always good to have her on, and she always brings, as I like to say, good things to light. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. We're going to step by here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming back.
Margie said, Roy, you
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, our technical analyst who brings us all this information. What's up, Matt?
I'm good. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing good. Well, and I guess the sell-off is over. We had that big less than 1% of a sell-off last week. I guess the bottoms are in. We can start buying again?
That's right. We should buy this dip. That's what they always keep talking about. Buy the dip. This is, you know, every little minor move we get, they need something to talk about on, you know, mainstream media, I guess.
It is amazing. And I did want to get your comments, though. You know, on Friday, of course, we had I don't know if it's a bombshell, whatever it was. It was a fundamental news bomb is what I call it. But we saw, you know, a pretty dramatic drop in, you know, a very short period of time, you know, about 150 Dow points down. And of course, by the end of the day, we had rallied all the way back almost, and it was like it didn't happen. When you're using your charts, does that do anything to the charting? Does that change anything that you look at? Not the news, but the actual action in the market. What does that do to what you're looking at?
The action can change, because if you have a, you know, I look for symmetry. So if you get a vertical drop, you tend to get a set, like, and then that's your first leg, and you often get a second leg of vertical drop. In this case, I don't know if that's going to happen, but the action actually in the short term patterns was there. I thought we were going to sell off. I just didn't know what it was going to be, and then we found out. So that was interesting.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because they actually, and the thing I look at, Matt, is there was a real chance. I mean, normally, you know, and again, I'm not blaming the Fed or anybody for this, but under normal circumstances, without any outside influence, Friday, with that news that came out so late, that was a perfect day to really stick it to them and really start to flood them out at the end of the day. But of course, they didn't. They did rally back and actually held the level I've been watching, which is 2120 in the S&P.
Right. I mean, you know, 2120 has been holding for, you know, quite a while. And every time we get down there, buyers step in. You know, I kind of wonder why, but, you know, there it is.
Well, they got free money, and you know, when you can take advantage of it, you know, it's the same reason, and not to talk politics, because I don't want to do that, but it's the same reason why, you know, Hillary Clinton is still the leader in the election. It's because the money flow, these traders that are voting that direction are very comfortable because they know what they've made in the last 8 years, and they figured that that's going to always continue. And you and I both know that no matter who's in office, this policy cannot continue based on what's going on, because at some point something's got to give. But at the end of the day, I see something very interesting in your work this week. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the volatility in the VIX futures and, you know, what the banks have been doing. And they very much held a pretty large position over the last, what it was, 5 or 6 months now?
Yeah, yeah. They've never held a position this large for this long. So it's interesting to watch.
But I think what's interesting is it's almost like they're kind of trading a little bit of a range as well. I mean, it looks to me, based on what you write and based on everything, all of your information, that they're keeping a core short position. But also, it seems to me they're trying to trade this volatility, like, let's say, between 13 and 17 or 16. Because every time we get that little spurt, they take a little bit off, and now we get back down here, and they're now approaching record highs in ownership again, aren't they?
Yeah, they are trading the range, you know, and I think they're waiting for one big sell off and thus a spike in volatility that they're still waiting, that they believe is out there. But while they wait, it seems like they're trading the range. Every time we get up to 16, 17, they take some off. Every time we get back down towards 13, they put it back on. So, yeah.
Now, how is their short positioning in today's market versus other times in the past since you've been doing this? Is this exceptionally high for them, or is it normal, you know, for when they're ready to get short? I mean, how do you rate this particular setup and the way that they're positioning themselves with times in the past?
It's up there. I haven't gone all the way back through the full, 20 some years of COT reports to be absolutely sure. But this ranks up there. They're heavily short Dow futures, heavily short NASDAQ futures, in particular NASDAQ futures. If you go across the board, they're short the Nikkei, they're short emerging market futures, they're short equities basically across the board. In volatility, which is, that's more time sensitive. The longer you hold it, the more decay you experience, the more losses you take. They've, like we talked about just now, they've been holding a large position for a long time. And now, yeah, they are trading it. I still believe they're thinking something's out there. But as far as, relative to times in the past, this is probably, top five. As far as their how short they are,
and in all markets you've been watching, over your history, I would have to say that this market has one of the chances to be a very ugly fall, and only because we're allowing outside influence to kind of hold them together here. Although in theory, I think both you and I both believe they should have fallen already. But there is reason that they are holding, and I think the longer they kick the can down the road, the more damage it will actually get done before it comes back and resumes. What do you think?
Yeah, it feels like they're I don't want to say there's manipulation, but it does feel like something is holding things up here. And maybe it is just buyers, stepping in, and that very well could be the case. It does feel like it's somewhat orchestrated, typically we want to see Santa Claus rallies so that, when we go into the seasonal shopping period, people have confidence and they buy more. Maybe that'll happen this year. Although I think if Trump wins, that we will get some sort of, selling, some sell off. But that seems to be the case, because I think Clinton is favored. But I think, by the time we get into January, I think we could see sort of a repeat of this year's January.
I would be surprised, and I know you won't say it, and I will not put words in your mouth, but I do believe it is manipulated and contrived. I mean, I think that, we have seen the Fed try to hold up this market, because every action they make is based on what the stock market does. And we know there's been a lot of communication throughout all the central banks around the globe. But overall, you carry a bearish sentiment. And I know that the way you track, your resistance line is strolling down a little bit of where we would be sellers now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So my S&P top line declines by about 5 points per week. So now, if I were where I see major resistance is at 2180, in the S&P. I don't think we're going to get above that. I think we've already peaked. I think we peaked in August. So yeah, I maintain my bearish stance. This could remain choppy for a while though. I mean, each time I think we might get, some sort of, bigger sell off. We're getting oversold in a variety of indicators. They need to, we need to then pop up to neutralize those oversold indicators, and then we can fall again. So who knows? I do think though, like I said, because of that volatility position sitting out there, I think at some point we do get a more volatile move down.
I agree. I mean, I think that, unfortunately, the markets don't send you and me a telegram and tell us what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. We just know from history that there is a decline coming. Now, again, it could be 6 months from now. There's no telling when it's going to be. We don't know the actual date that it's going to happen. We just know that it's going to be happening. And right now, you rate the probability is higher. If we say 50%, if the markets are 50-50, you rate the sell-off possibility, I don't know, I'll put your words in your mouth, but maybe 70-30 now?
Yeah. I would say 70-30 is about right. The more time we have, the more confident I am. But I don't actually think that these, I'm not absolutely positive, but let me give you this. In the NASDAQ, the NASDAQ's pattern is extremely symmetrical. We should have peaked already, and now we should be seeing, a serious sell-off happen at any point. I could argue for the S&P and the Dow that they need to, break to new highs eventually, before we say go into a very, severe bear market. But we need to see something here. We need to see some sort of, NASDAQ's not going to fall in isolation. So we need to see some sort of, big sell-off. And the other thing I'm looking at too, which is interesting, which is pretty bearish, is the action are in a rising wedge pattern, which appears to be breaking down now. So we'll see.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of things that go on throughout market cycles, and again, the actual pinpointing, other than Matt can pinpoint a lot of things, as he did call the top of the treasuries, and of course they basically did nothing but go down. So we love that, and he's going to tell us when we come back from the break about his gold call, because when he makes these big long term calls, he's got pretty good basis and pretty good reasons to go ahead and make those calls. And so we're going to come back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And make sure that when you miss an episode, even when you don't miss an episode, download it for kicks. Go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day. You get to hear guys like Matt tell you about markets, and you get to learn about the world, as well as checking out BubbaTrading.com as we continue to try to educate and help everybody navigate through these challenging markets and make you better investors. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back right after the break with more from Matt Demeter. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, I know, we watch gold, and, of course, I do a lot of stuff for China and Phoenix TV, and I get asked about gold every week, and I always kind of refer back to, your message. And what are you seeing, and what is your special so that we can all make lots of money when it does come true?
Sure. Well, my premise is that gold has not bottomed, and that's based upon my charts and the technicals behind it. And if you look at the commercials too, what the banks are doing, they are trying to cause a new low. So that fits. So the special is when gold falls to my target low, I'm going to send out a text and an email to all subscribers that sign up for the gold bottom call. And basically the text and the email will say, here's our target, when gold bottoms, if it bottoms within 3% of that target, that line, and if it then rallies 20%, then we will charge for it, and that's $49. Otherwise, it's free to sign up, and if we're wrong on either end of that call, then it's also free.
You're never wrong. Well, maybe once. It's like everything else. It's a probability game, and you've been pretty much on target. Now, you know, I'm a big oil bear right now myself. But of course, I think that, you know, this 48 level might cause me just a little bit of heartburn, but I think eventually it breaks down and goes down even lower, 44, maybe 40. What are your thoughts on oil?
I'm right there with you. I'm also bearish right now. I agree with you about the 48 level. It's a minor support for me. I think that could bounce us back up. Otherwise, I have very strong support in the 45 range. And from there, I think we could see a pretty big bounce. It's either going to be, you know, we have this minor support, we could bounce from here, or if we break that, we're going to get down to, around 45. And then we could see another rally again. I don't think the rally would go too far. I think we're looking at, mid-50s, and then another reversal back to the downside, which could go much lower, back down into the 30s.
All right, and I can see that. So, Matt, when you're looking and you're watching these markets, and we see, different things happening. You called last week. You said 99 was what you would expect out of the dollar, and of course, we got just a shade over 99, and have come off from that a little bit. I still believe we're going to go hit the buck. To me, it's like they got this close; they're going to go get it, and that would probably create a lot of stops and take a lot of people out that were been trying to short the market. But I know you called 99. What are your thoughts today?
I still favor the downside. There is a pattern I have that could get us up to the buck, and I think that's psychologically a level where you're going to see a lot of sell orders, and there may not be enough sell orders that you might be able to get through there up to 100 before those kick in. So it's possible. I still favor more the downside here, but we got so close. I agree, it could happen. I do have a final target at 102.3. Eventually that has to be hit. I just don't think it's going to be hit on this round. I think a dollar, I think the buck would be about as high as we go here, and then we reverse the downside. We've already gotten short, so I remain bearish.
No, I understand that. And I'm with you. I've said all along that we were going to rally. And I about 13 or 14 weeks ago, I started drawing an X on my charts when I talked to people. And I go, this is where I think we're going. It may take some time, but now we were here. We're at the doorstep, right? Now, again, they may not get there, and they may reverse right from here. I am bearish myself, but I do think that it will get there. And I think that a lot of the markets that are so dramatically affected by the price of the dollar had already priced in the dollar trading at a dollar. And I think that's starting to show, but we may not get there, but we could pop. Now, last week we talked about the Aussie, and it was in consolidation. What's your look at the Aussie dollar now?
Aussie is bouncing in between minor support and resistance levels where it is. I would, to get real bearish, I'd like to see it, pop up above, we've been repeatedly shorting once we get to 77, and that's, been resistance for quite a long time. I don't think we've seen, a very strong, I have a target that's higher that we haven't hit. It's declining, so it's not really worth talking about, but still it's above, it's right around, 78.50, something like that. But it's just kind of for me, it's in no man's land right now, basically. But I, on a fundamental level, I don't want to be long. Aussie, I think there's issues there. Purchasing power parity is lower. And the big picture is that the low we made around 68 cents, I think that was back in December, January, or maybe a bit further back. I think that's going to be exceeded to the downside eventually. So if you're a long-term player, I think the Aussie is a good short. And interestingly, if you look at the commercials and their positioning, if you look across the board, they're getting long everything. They're getting long the franc. They're getting long Canadian dollar, euro. They're hugely short the dollars we just talked about. In the dollar, it's a big short position, highly concentrated position, and they're going long everything against the dollar, except for the Aussie. In the Aussie, they're also building a short position. So that tells you of the currencies out there, the banks are very bearish the dollar, but possibly even more bearish the Aussie dollar.
Wow, that kind of makes sense. So, you know, we've seen, you know, the grain space had a, you know, reasonable week last week. The certainly the cattle and hog markets really picked up and had a good week. What's your thoughts in those spaces now?
Well, you know, the grains are kind of, for me, you know, sort of, I'm kind of neutral on the grains right here, except for wheat. I think, you know, as I've said this many times, I think wheat is the most bombed out on indicators. It looks the most, you know, oversold. And, you know, I think it has a chance to turn around and go to the upside. You know, we're not exactly betting on it because I don't like the fact that the other, like corn and soybeans, long term, I don't think have hit their final lows. And if they haven't hit their final lows, then I kind of wonder about wheat and also, you know, what kind of, you know, pressure that might put on wheat. Although it may not, that doesn't mean wheat needs to go to a new low. It just means that it may, you know, may stifle, you know, upsides for a while. So for right now in grains, we're not really, we're not taking a position. In the meats, in livestock, you know, I've been a bull on cattle. I started turning bullish or less bearish, let's say, in hogs. And now hogs had a massive rally. So that's been great. Cattle's done well. I'd still be bullish of cattle. And hogs, there's definitely more upside than downside. I'm just not sure that hogs, you know, made a very solid bottom. So I'm still bullish, you know. There is a little, I have a little bit of concern that as we've moved up in both, the daily indicators have, you know, shot up into overbought, conditions fairly quickly. And I don't like to see that, but, that doesn't necessarily mean, we're going to continue to hold because I think they can become more overbought before we see, you know, pullback.
Right. And I see, and actually it's funny. I mean, I'm very bullish and have been so since like the 90s in cattle, but I did say that. You know, 105, 106 in the December cattle. I know you don't use those same charts, but it would be an area that I'd look for some pullback. And really what I'm looking for is a pullback for an opportunity to buy, because I think overall it is a buy. You just have to find the right spot. And, you know, sometimes, especially if you're a speculator, if you buy too soon, sometimes you get forced out because of the movement versus waiting for the setup and the chart. So so overall, we're still a little bit bearish, and we figure the same things to happen. You got 10 seconds. Anything before the election happen, you think, or do we wait until the election's over now?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, I think, you know, I think we should wait till after the election, and then we'll probably see, you know, the wheels come off, maybe.
And this has been Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, thanks so much. Always appreciate it.
Always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. That'll do it for today. Happy Halloween, everybody. Make sure you check that candy before you eat it, and maybe a diet pill to go with it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you later. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.